Hey there, Roamers. Welcome to the Roam in Your Home podcast and YouTube channel, where we get to hear from full-time RVers, unpack their experiences, and learn actionable advice to help you roam in your home too. I'm your host, Jamie Williams. Thank you so much for being here. Buckle up, my friend. Let's get ready to go on an adventure together right now. Hey friends, you're listening to episode 11. We're almost at a dozen episodes and I just can't believe it. When most podcasters don't make it past 3 episodes, I am truly so grateful to be in this space and so honored that you're here. Thank you for all the wonderful listeners that come back each week. It truly means so much to me. In today's episode, I'm so excited to share part 2 of my conversation with the OGs of full-time RVing, Vern and Katie from Nomad Nesters. If you haven't listened to part 1 yet, go now and listen, then come back for part 2. I loved this conversation so much, and I know you will too. It was so much fun hearing all about their first experiences full-time RVing back in 2005 with their 4 kids. They didn't have the luxury of watching YouTube or Instagram and learning from everyone else like most of us did. They figured it out as they went. And their experiences are hilarious, so interesting, and super inspiring. Let's jump right back into our conversation where I ask them where they prefer to stay during their travels. So without further ado, here's Vern and Katie.
And so I always like to find out too, where do you guys like to stay? Do you prefer boondocking? Do you prefer RV parks? When you're looking up for your next travel, what do you look for?
I'm a water snob. I love long showers. Yes. I love washing my dishes. So we're more RV parkers. We do like national parks and things. We do boondock, especially on long trips. We're members of Thousand Trails. We've been since 2005, and there's a lot we love about Thousand Trails, but we love private campgrounds, but we can boondock. We have boondock, but
yeah, I mean,
we like showers, long showers.
Yeah. And it's funny because we have been, especially this winter was all Florida, and so it was a lot of Thousand Trails, and we have been in this new rig, and we haven't really even got to test out its off-grid capability. And it's funny, the things you should do ahead of time, which even as a veteran, we skip sometimes. And so after 2 days of snowstorms and rainstorms getting towards Wyoming, it was our second night of boondocking, and our solar just did not have a chance to charge the batteries because it was such bad overcast that in the middle of the night, with it being 30-something degrees outside, 20-something degrees, the batteries died and the heater quit working. So it was a very cold night.
We like to cuddle. It worked out.
Yeah.
But you get through it. You say, okay, I learned that. I'm going to be sure I think about that next time.
We were boondocking in Colorado a couple years ago in our little teeny rig, and it wasn't keeping up. Our solar wasn't enough and wasn't keeping our batteries charged. And there was one night that Randy actually had to go hook up the truck to the RV and like sit in the truck with it running for like an hour and a half
to charge it.
You know, it's like you just do what you got to do.
That's right.
Oh, darn it.
That's the fun part, is there's a solution out there somewhere.
Yep, that's right. And so I know the answer to this, but I want our listeners to find out, how many states have you guys been in?
We have been in 49.
Yes.
I love that.
I turned 50 this year. Vern turns 50 in November. And, you know, we're struggling because our 50th state is Hawaii. And neither of us really want to go. Well, not that we don't want to, but, you know, to go to Hawaii for a week, the same cost we went to Bali for a month, or to Ireland month. So we do have to hit Hawaii this year. And that sounds like, not in a begrudgingly way, but we're struggling to figure out when to go because we have so many fun things planned. But yes, we've been to 49 states.
We want to hit 50 by 50. So it's the run. We're going to get this and be able to fill that map up all the way.
I love that. I saw that you did 49 states. I think that is so incredible. That's so exciting. But I didn't know that you guys were both 50 this year. And so 50 by 50 is so cool.
That was our bucket list when we were in our early 20s. We got married at 19 and 20. So we've been married a long time. And that was one of our bucket lists, is to see all 50 states by 50. So we got to do it.
Yeah.
I love that you even had that bucket list way back when, because we've only been between Ohio and Florida before we started RVing. We never even been west of like Indiana. And so we're from Ohio, then we moved to Florida, and it's like, we didn't know what we were missing. And I love that you guys knew, like, you wanted to see the country, and you did. You made so many priceless memories. Now, how many of those states, I don't even know if you know this, if you kept track, how many states has your kids been in with you?
I think our kids have been to 45.
Yeah. A lot. That's awesome. Oh my gosh. Good for you.
Yes. Because again, all of this credit goes to Katie. She is the gypsy in the family and the adventure. I just go along for the ride. But our girls caught that bug and have traveled to how many countries now?
I think our oldest has been to like 32 countries, and our second oldest has been to 22, 23.
18, 20, somewhere around there. So, and they left home at
our oldest 17. At 17 went to Ukraine to teach English and then just fell in love. And we just wanted our kids to have the opportunity. There's so much to see in the world. And, you know, we got married really young and we didn't stop. We still got to see and do the things we wanted. And we wanted our kids to make sure they had that chance in case when they were married, they didn't have the opportunity, you know, maybe job wise or work wise. And so being able to travel, we wanted our kids to experience cultures and different, you know, regions and experiences. And so that was a really important thing for us, for our kids to do.
Yes.
What a priceless gift that you guys gave your children. That is awesome.
And it's so cool to have our grandkids living this way now. Two of our grandkids, our daughter, their handle is Field Guide for Travelers. And it is so rewarding to see our grandkids experience what our kids got to. I think that's been our greatest joy, is just to watch their family do the same thing now. And we kind of joke, we call ourselves multi-generational RVers, but it's just the coolest thing ever to see. It's been really fun.
Oh, and so fun to go places and say, your mom was here at your age doing this.
Oh, I love that, because Randy and I both grew up with families that did not go camping, did not know anything about RVing. We didn't even have friends that RVed. So this was so new to us. And we wish all the time that we grew up like this and made memories as children with our families. And we don't have any children to make memories with, but we have a lot of nieces and nephews. And we hope that we're inspiring them to do this life too, because it is priceless to be able to have this freedom to see so many places and make great, great memories.
That's so awesome. It is important, isn't it?
It is. And so I'm going to ask you the hardest question of all, and it's so hard what everybody asks us, and the answer definitely keeps changing as you travel, but you guys have been to 49 states, so I don't even know how you're going to answer this, and I apologize because it is difficult, but if you could give us your top 5 locations, what would they be?
This is actually really easy.
Oh, good.
Can I start with mine? Mine undoubtedly is in Louisiana. I love the French Quarter and I love all of the people down there. Oh, my goodness.
History,
the history, the food. Whoa. Talk about slipping off the diet train. The stories that we have from Louisiana, I love it. Going down and meeting the very old history families and eating in their homemade restaurants that,
like,
the,
yard.
This lady had a double wide trailer that had been divided in half, and half she lived in and half was like a 2 or 3 table restaurant.
So good.
Out in the middle of the bayou, and it was a police officer in the French Quarter we were talking to, and he's like, if you want the best food, eat at my mama's place. I'm like, are you inviting me? Because let's go. And we did, and it was just beautiful. The food was off the charts amazing. And in her front yard, we always joke about this, but there's a little swing set right next to this little family cemetery plot. And we ask them, like, what is that family cemetery plot? And she's like, well, honey, that's where all my ancestors are at. And I'm like, well, what happens when you move? And she's like, darling, we don't move. And I'm like, no, you don't. This is awesome. But just such genuine people in the history. Oh, I don't like the summers there. It's a bit hot, but oh man, I love Louisiana. What about
you? I grew up in Seattle in Alaska, Washington, Alaska, but I have to say the most magical place on earth is the Olympic National Park, the Hoh Rainforest. I think everyone needs to go to the Hoh Rainforest at least once.
Yes.
We really love Mexico. We have great memories boondocking on the beach in Puerto Penasca. That would probably be our next favorite.
Yes.
You know, it's not like visually our favorite place and all the things, but through traveling, some of our best memories with our kids is just Tennessee. Being right next to Disney World being able to just drop in for 2 or 3 hours and go home and just enjoy that.
And I think one that we want to add to this. Like the whole rainforest, it is just a magical place. Sometimes it's not the place, but it's the people. And Tennessee will have our hearts because it's weird. I'm actually getting emotional about the story. But we were in Florida doing Disney with four kids, and there's nothing more magical than that. And our kids saw on TV that there was a tornado that happened in Tennessee. And they said, well, let's just go help. And I'm like, you want to leave Disney World and go to Tennessee? And we did. And we met a family up there, the Tucks, that are still in our hearts. And they had so much devastation to their family through that tornado. And we stayed there a month or two.
About 2 months.
And helped clean up and get them back on their feet and just made friends for life. But to see our family pull together to give, it was unbelievable. It was awesome.
Wow, what an incredible story. That's so heartwarming. I love that you guys got to do that as a family. Wow.
Yeah, so those probably our tops.
It was our good, yeah.
Oh, I love all those. We've never been to any of those. So I love that you guys shared so many incredible places. I'm just smiling hearing you guys reminisce. And I love that it was easy for you because most people are like, oh, I don't know what I would choose. And even us, like, we probably have our top five pretty easily too. But I love that you guys knew exactly what those top five were. I love that. And so when we were starting to travel again, we didn't know anything about RVing. Our family and friends didn't either. So all we knew and all of our family and friends knew is what you either see on TV or movies or reading the paper. And so a lot of it is negative. And so everybody thought we were going to be unsafe and in scary situations. And we weren't sure either. You know, what are RVers like? And what is it like in an RV park? And are there going to be situations that we're going to not be able to handle pretty easily? And so I always like to ask people, what do you do to stay safe on the road? And have you been in any scary experiences where you felt unsafe?
Yeah, you know, there's been a couple parks that we stayed at once that, only once where we felt really incredibly unsafe and we just left. And our kind of rule of thumb is just go with your gut. If it doesn't feel right, then don't stay. We're really careful, you know, boondocking, we don't do a lot. We just went from Michigan to Wyoming in 2 days. And when we're boondocking, we just really kind of get a feel for where we're at and just, I guess the biggest thing I would say is go with our gut. If it doesn't feel right or we have a little bit of hesitation, then we just kind of move on.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of things you can do inside of your RV that help you feel safe. You know, anything from being a black belt in some martial art to some kind of protection. I can't stress enough how much peace of mind that camera system gave me, being able to just see outside. In the Class C, it was kind of interesting because if something was going on crazy outside, you could simply just get in your rig and go. But it's still different with the fifth wheel because you'd have to get outside to leave. But you at least know what's going on around you, which sometimes you wake up in the middle of the night and you can't even remember what state you're in or what direction you're facing. But it's nice to get your bearings. And I think you get a feel for it. There have been plenty of RV parks that we have pulled into and left that same day. We're like, you know what? No, I don't feel safe here. And we left. But honestly, the extreme of that, when we went to Mexico, we were boondocking for 2 months. How long were we in Mexico?
Yeah, almost three.
And never once felt any worry at all. And that was a place, you know, most people who don't have any history of going down there are like, you went to Mexico? I'm like, no. Mexico is beautiful. The people are genuine and it was awesome. But again, I think street smarts are a real thing and being aware of your surroundings, not necessarily judging, but just being sure you know what's around you and what you feel safe with, you know?
Great advice. I love that. Yeah, that is such good advice about knowing your surroundings and just paying attention to your gut. You know, for the 7 years that we've been traveling, we have never had any really bad experiences. There's been some that we thought, uh-oh, this is not going to be good. Like we took a travel contract in Fresno, California, and the place that we had to stay, we pulled in and there was really no other choice. And we took a contract. You know, we were obligated to stay here. And we even took a few days to drive within an hour radius to see if there was anything else. And there just wasn't. And so we were just, oh, I can't believe we're going to stay here. And this is horrible. And we ended up extending our contract another 3 months, stayed there 6 months and had zero problems and ended up loving it. So a lot of times, yeah, don't judge, just kind of, yeah, listen to your gut and definitely be smart about it. But sometimes it ends up working out. Actually, most of the time it ends up working out way better than expected.
Yeah, I love that. I think that there are fears people have that are very largely unfounded.
Yes.
And you challenge those and say, you know what, let me just try this. Like, honestly, me trying RVing because my wife was so dead set on it. And that was a fear for me. And it's like, no, wait, this actually is awesome. You're smart, honey. Good job. So, you know, you just have to every once in a while challenge your fears to get past them. And RVing has provided a lot of that. It's been awesome.
Absolutely. I love that. And I love that Katie was smart enough to know that already, because it does take somebody to kind of encourage you to do that. So that's so cool.
Yes.
And so we heard right away, doing all the research, it's not if, but when something happens to your RV. And we were so worried every day, is it going to be today? Are we going to be able to handle it? What is it going to be? And so we've had so many different experiences and everything's always worked out, but I always want to find out from our guests, what is something that's happened, you know, with your RV, like issues, whether it's the RV or even on the road, and how did you handle it?
This was early on. Talking about Louisiana being my favorite place, this also happened in Louisiana, which
within the first month,
our nice old RV that had aluminum siding, we're pulling into Louisiana late at night.
It's the bad part of New
Orleans. This was a spot probably should have just kept going, but I look out my side mirror of my truck, and the entire side from our nose cap of our RV down the side, about 6 or 8 feet, all of that siding had peeled away and was laying out beside us.
Oh.
And this RV was so old, it had like insulation in it. So insulation's flying down the freeway.
Oh gosh.
And I'm like, holy cow, I just ripped my RV apart. So we had to pull over on the side of the road in the middle of the night on a shoulder we didn't fit on. And I had to learn how to put siding back on an RV and reattach it with only the few screws I could find in my toolbox that, you know, stay in the bottom and you never think about. And oh man, I was like, this is crazy. But we got it. We put it back together and it didn't look like it did initially, but it looked better than it did when I pulled over.
Vern's really good with those things. I stress in the moment, but I do better later. And he just takes it with a grain of salt. So I'm grateful that everything's fixable and it usually tends to work out.
Yeah.
You guys make a great team. I love that.
And honestly, nowadays, everyone has YouTube. There's nothing you can't do. We're all professionals at everything now because of YouTube.
Exactly.
Our most recent thing, I think, was our Class C, right? Katie had a doctor's appointment back in Utah, and I had to fly to Maryland to pick up the RV and drive fast as I could to Florida to pick her up because her flight went straight to Florida. So I'm driving, and I boondock in Georgia. And I get out and I notice our little step didn't come out. And I'm like, well, that seems simple enough. But I look underneath, it actually caught on fire.
Oh.
And there was flame shooting out of the module. I don't know what this thing is. And so it's late at night. I'm trying to learn how to disconnect wires to at least put the fire out and figured out how to rig it so it would work until I could get somewhere and, you know, then start figuring out how to replace it. But you just kind of laugh and say, that was funny. I'm glad I caught it before it was a bigger fire.
Oh, I love that. And honestly, every experience turns into a lesson, something that we could learn for next time, and also something that we can help somebody else going through it. So
yes,
you guys went through so many things, but also that you learned and you got through it, and really nothing is impossible to deal with. And I love that you shared those. And so you guys, it's so obvious how well you get along. I love your relationship. And the one thing that when people were to see our huge 40-foot fifth wheel, they would walk in and say, oh my gosh, I don't think I could do it. And now when people see our 20-foot travel trailer, they're like, nope, we're out. There's no way. And so a lot of times they'll walk in and say, wow, you two must really like each other, you know, and they always think that they can't do it. They can't live in a small space with their spouse. And we get along so well. We have zero issues. The reason why we want to upgrade is just for more room, just for more storage, but not because we don't like to be near each other all the time. But, you know, what are tips that you guys can give for getting along while living in such a small space?
Can I answer?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm excited for this answer.
I don't know. This is something that in an RV, in a home, anywhere in your life, I think it's absolutely essential. It's vital that your spouse be the most important person in your life. And, you know, when they say each of you give 100%, it just kind of seems cliche. But if everything you do is an attempt to make their life better, one, I really hope they're reciprocating, because that's what the real relationship is. But it just makes it work. I see so many things where you have, I mean, selfish is a really hard word, but you see someone that just, they're paying attention to other things. When you get in the RV, it is your spouse that's beside you, and you need to be sure you're helping them, and you identify things that make their life tough and you try to help. And if you do that, you are going to forge such an amazing, successful relationship. If all you care about is, you know, your next Candy Crush game or getting out of there to go get your golf game in, your third or fourth one for the week, then your priorities are there. But if your priority is your spouse, RVing only magnifies it. As a matter of fact, it magnifies no matter what, whether it's a successful or not successful relationship, an RV magnifies it. What's the country song? Love grows best in small places.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I've loved it. It has never, ever been a problem for us. We've had plenty of friends that we've seen that have struggled, but I think they would struggle whether it was in an RV or not. It just, the RV magnifies it.
That is beautiful advice. I love that. And just your sharing that just shows why you guys have such a good relationship, because you do value the other person. You know, the other person is your favorite person in the whole world, and you're going to do whatever you can to make their life better and to work things out. And it's obvious. So thanks for sharing that. Great, great advice. Good tips. And we get asked two questions often, and the first one really isn't as hard as people think, but we also had the question too, is how do you get your mail on the road?
Yeah, so we do Escapees, and most of our mail, you know, we don't get a lot of mail now, but we do use Escapees. And then if we're staying somewhere, one of the things that we really enjoy, like in Florida, we didn't stay at the same park the whole time, but we were in the general area for a few months. We really utilize UPS a lot because you can pay $10. And they will hold your package. Yeah, one time. And they'll hold your packages for you, and you just pay $1 a package to pick them up. Oftentimes, RV parks, oh my goodness, it's $5 to $8 a package they'll charge. And then family. If we're going somewhere to family, or if we're going to, you know, with a friend in the area, then we just load up. We're in Wyoming visiting our son, and we just had 12 cases of water delivered, like all the things you need. We just stock up, and that's kind of how we do it. Most RV parks are really great about letting you have things delivered too. So. Yeah.
And I would say the first time on the road, we didn't use Escapees then. We used friends that we would say, let's just forward all of our mail to you. You collect it and we'll tell you. But that is kind of a burden on them. So
we did a lot of general delivery back then.
Yes.
And have our mail just sent to the post office that we knew we'd be by at general delivery. That was probably the main way we
did it. And I don't know that a lot of people know about that, but it's a really nice option to say, I know I'm going to be in, you know, Salt Lake, Utah, and you get a hold of a post office there and say, I'm going to have my mail sent to you. Will you hold it till I get there? And you just send it general delivery to that post office and pick up your mail.
I can't believe you guys knew that. I just literally found that out from a podcast guest, like within the past month or so. I had no idea that that was a thing. I'm glad that you guys knew. And I didn't know about the UPS thing either, for $10 and then $1 a package. You guys are just telling me about that. So that's great information.
It is good. When we were on the road the first time, one of my businesses was importing and exporting butterflies around the world. And so I would have packages come from Indonesia, from the Philippines. And that was a challenge because you never know how long it's going to take. So I'd have to pick a post office that's like 2 months or 3 months into the future of where we're going to be and say, mail it there. And hopefully by the time I get there, so will the package. So there were some games that were hard to play, but it was still fun.
Oh, wow. And shipping butterflies? That is the coolest thing. I didn't even know that was a job. That's awesome.
Man, I love it.
Oh, that's awesome. And then how did you guys decide on your domicile state?
Yeah, so this is going to sound really silly. You know, before we did it based off of homeschooling laws and different things, we were trying to choose between Texas and Florida. And because our grandkids are traveling full time too, we knew that every other year, we'll probably end up in Florida and take advantage of Disney World and all the amusement parks for a few months. So we chose Florida because of the discounts, the state discounts that you get while you're in Florida.
Annual passes, yeah.
So that's why we chose it.
But also, Florida is in the small list of states that don't have income tax and a few other tax benefits as well. So it doubles. That Katie isn't interested in that, but that is also...
Oh, that's so smart, because when we were Florida residents, we actually are no longer Florida residents, but for 20 years, yes, Florida residents get really great discounts at Disney. So very important. And that's actually a really good thing to think about when you're thinking about your domicile state.
Yes.
So awesome. And then one of the, I think the second most requested question that people ask us is they want to find out, how do we make money on the road? And so if you guys wouldn't mind sharing, how do you guys make money on the road?
Yeah, well, Vern tells people he's retired, and he is not. I just closed my main business. I do consulting for brands. I help brands learn how to grow their brand through affiliate and email marketing. And so I do consulting part-time on the side for that. And then we do some brand deals. And then Vern, do you want to tell what you do?
Yeah, through Katie's business, I ended up opening up a fulfillment center, and that business got sold as we got on the road. And I work with marketing. I still do butterflies, and I market with an old business partner of mine of another medical company. He's nationally based. And so as I travel around, sometimes I get to go meet people in person, and sometimes I just do it all over the phone.
And I guess real estate. We do real estate.
We just try to, it's always fun to go out and look on websites about other remote type jobs, because that truly was not an option when we were on the road the first time. And there's unlimited now. I laugh at the fact that you can get paid to watch Netflix. That's crazy. So there's just so many options out that I like to do them all. I'm working on newsletters right now, and
just a bunch of
publishing newsletters. And yeah, there's so many things.
Just passive income is kind of our goal. So we have a few passive incomes with properties and consulting and anything that we enjoy. That's the thing. Find something you enjoy.
Yes.
Great advice. And there is so many different opportunities now. And like you said, I'm sure there was nothing remote that you could do before when you started. But now, even after COVID, the doors are so wide open of virtual and remote jobs. What kind of internet do you guys use?
So now we have Starlink, and we have a cell, T-Mobile home internet that we alternate between. I'm about to buy I have it written down. I don't remember what it is right now, but a device that will bring both of those signals together and combine them to give me an even stronger signal. So that's kind of cool. But before, we carried around a 3.5 foot satellite dish that we had to set up on a tripod, and we had to angle it manually to find the satellite. And it was quite a setup, but so much easier nowadays.
We have Starlink as well, and that has been a game changer. That was the one thing that we really didn't know how difficult it was going to be to get good internet on the road. We just took it for granted having great internet at home and just thought, like, if you get internet, that's what it is. And RV parks don't have the best, or, when you log into theirs, it's just so slow and choppy and all that. So Starlink is awesome. We've been in the middle of nowhere with zero cell coverage with high speed internet. So that's awesome. I'm glad that you guys discovered how great it is too.
Yes, it has been good. I mean, but again, especially if you really rely on it, having a secondary is important, because most of the time this summer or this spring, I guess, when we were up in the Northeast, you get into Pennsylvania and tree coverage is everywhere. So we had a 25-foot telescoping flagpole on our Class C that would let us get high, but it didn't necessarily always get us high enough. So that's where having the cell home signal allowed a good secondary backup. I don't think in the 10 years we've been on the road, I really ever connected to a campground's internet, just because we haven't needed to. But yeah, you get creative sometimes. I remember one park we were in, cell signal was bad, and we were covered in trees, and we were near a pavilion, and the pavilion had a soccer field on the other end of it. So I set the satellite dish out in the Starlink out in the soccer field and plugged the router into the pavilion. It was maybe 40 feet away, but it was close enough that I could still pick up the signal in the RV. So,
wow. Oh, that's awesome. That's so good. You guys have shared so much valuable information. Even after doing this 7 years, I've learned so many things for the first time from you guys. This has been invaluable for me and for our listeners. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for your time and for sharing so much. I really look forward to keeping in touch, continuing to watch your adventures, watching your renovations. I'm excited to see what's next. And thank you so much for being here. I've loved this conversation. I know our listeners will too. And I hope to see you guys on the road.
Yes, thank you so much.
Wasn't that conversation so good? I learned so much from them and just absolutely love their awesome attitudes. But I totally screwed up and forgot to ask them one of the most important questions that I ask everyone, which is, what advice would you give to someone considering this RV life? Of course, we need to hear the answer from the OGs of full-time RVing. So they were so gracious to record their answer for our listeners, and so I will play it for you now.
Our adventure on the road started in a pop-up trailer. So my advice to anyone wanting to get out on the road and enjoy and live this lifestyle is find your budget, find what fits in it, and get in that and get going. Don't let a big price tag on a big rig stop you, because there are a lot of ways to get out on the road and start enjoying your adventure. You'll change it and adjust it as you go, but that's what you need to get started if that's where your heart is pulling you.
If someone was to ask me, what's the one thing I think you should do before you start traveling full time, I would say really find out what your why is. Why do you want to get on the road? What do you want to experience? What do you want to do? What are your reasonings? And then once you find that out, do research and really start getting as much information that will give you as much success as possible when you get on the road. My reason was to be able to spend more time with my family and homeschool hands-on and have those experiences. And once you have your reason, and once you start to research what you can do to make that goal and that desire to come true, then I think you're just setting yourself up for so much success.
That was such perfect advice from the OGs of full-time RVing. They truly are so inspirational, and I'm definitely going to listen to part one and two over and over. They are awesome. Be sure to go on over to Instagram and follow Vern and Katie at nomad.nesters. Check our show notes for all the links to everything they mentioned, as well as their social media and website, or you can visit roamingyourhome.com/nomadnesters. Come back each week because I have so many fun interviews coming up. You won't want to miss these great conversations filled with so many awesome tips and travel information. I learned so much and I know you will too, so come back each week. Thanks so much for listening, and I hope to see you on the road. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Roam in Your Home podcast and YouTube channel. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love it if you would subscribe to our show and consider giving us a 5-star review. It's free and would mean the world to us and help us grow. If you know anyone who would also enjoy this podcast, please share it with a friend. I would also love to connect with you on Instagram or Facebook at Roam in Your Home. Come back next week for another fun adventure, but until then, stay safe, and we hope to see you on the road.